Blog Talk Radio.
Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio. How you all doing? This is also here on Blog Talk Radio. So welcome to the show. It's Free Angel Reading Roundtable Midnight. Join us. We're going to have some really great topics to talk about and that kind of thing. We're going to bring some things to the forefront. You know, talking about the missing spiritual link, Atlantis, Great Atlantean Pyramids. Some things we were talking about before, too. Where, how do you know it's divine guidance? How do you know that? Just certain things like that, pop in, pop out, do this kind of stuff, you know, and then see what's up, you see. So with the situation at hand, we talk about past lives. I mean, what is past lives, and how does that work in that kind of situation? If you have your own topic that you want to bring to the show too, it'd be great, be fantastic, it really would be. So just bring it on, show us up, come on. Share your topic with us and let's see what's going down. Someone's going to be on my show Saturday, and I'm trying to find a link right here. But it's nosoulslanguage.net. You should try it out. This lady, Jennifer, is it Jennifer? I do believe it's Jennifer. I'm trying to find the information as we speak. Some of these pages, they turn as fast as they should. But if I'm not mistaken, I had them. There it is. Jennifer. And her last name is spelled U-R-E-Z-Z-I-O. And you can contact her at jennifer@nosoulslanguage.net. She has a 15-minute session you can do. It's a free sample, see, I guess you would say. She's a soul reader. She can help you find out, why don't you have money in your life? Maybe she can find the missing link. Okay? You can contact her also at 862-368-5877. And I recommend the sessions highly. Very informative. Very talented lady to work with, too, as well. So give her a call and check out her website. It's really cool. Also, if we've been talking about Hemi Sync CDs. So if you want to check those out, it's actually a CD that sets off a frequency that when you have headsets on, you can hear. When your body hears the music and your brain hears the music, it actually helps your both hemispheres of your brain to work together, which gives you intense focus and concentration. So I actually have 4 or 5 of those CDs, and they're very good, they're very great for meditations. They have CDs for sleeping. They have CDs for chakra clearing, connecting with your angels, connecting with oneself, and about anything you think of. Give them a try. Check out the website, which is actually Hemi. It's actually www.hemi. That's H-E-M-I dash sync sync.com. Or you can call them at 1-800-541-2488. That number again is 1-800-541-2488. Or you can call straight through, which is 434-263-8692. Check out their website. They actually have samples of the music, of the CDs themselves. And I'm not sure if you can actually download those things or not, but give them a try. Okay, and then they're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 in the morning to 5 o'clock at night, Eastern. Okay, guys? Also, there's a company out there called BrainSync, which is the same kind of thing, but these are subliminal CDs. That's BrainSync, www.brainsync.com. And you can also contact them by the phone, too, which is 1-800-444-SYNC. Or, in other words, it's 1-800-444-7962. Or you can call them straight through, too, as well. That number is 541-488-7870. Also, you can contact me now with the idea of doing private readings, which is the number is 740-601-9835. And right now we're having a special this weekend where if you donate $99 to the show, I will give you 11 60-minute sessions. Okay? Just for just for donating $99 to the show, you'll get 11 60-minute sessions. And if you go on my site, you'll see that sessions actually go for $99 a piece for 60 minutes. It's actually 60 to 90-minute sessions. And also, if you want to donate 50, it's 5 sessions, 60-minute sessions. And if you want to donate $12 or more, you get a 5-card angel reading, which is 30 minutes. So check it all out. Give me a call at 740-601-9835 or contact me through my website, www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. So let's go and check out, see what we got going with us today. This first caller is... Hello, Faith?
Hello.
How are you? How you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
How's your face, your head,
it's one of those
features.
It's one of those things. I was actually, my granddaughter was over here today, and I picked her up too fast, and she smacked me in my right cheek, where it's like I got the stitches.
Ooh.
So it was like, that was kind of intense, and then my nose is broken.
So
I was sneezing, and actually yawning hurts too. So, it's interesting in itself. So, things going good for you today?
Yeah, so how are you dealing with your pain, your physical pain of the nose?
Well, actually, right now I have I did get some painkillers.
Oh.
Yeah, I got some, I don't know what it's called. I tried to read the thing. I'm like, okay, it just says take for pain, so that's all I need to know. Trying to pronounce that word, I'd probably hurt myself.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
No, as I thought I tried doing the shows and stuff, because I took yesterday and today off, and then the one thing I didn't expect when I didn't think about was when I hit the floor and my face hit the floor and all that kind of stuff going on. And the next day, I had trauma. My shoulders and my neck hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I must have hit my back of my head. But a couple of the guys said that actually when I came down and hit and rolled across the floor, I was actually out for a couple of minutes.
Wow.
So I actually did hit the back of my head too as well. So it was interesting in itself. I mean, shoot,
like you need to go get a massage, loosen up those muscles in your neck and your back and shoulders and all that.
Hmm. Never thought about that. There's actually a place up in town to do that.
Yeah.
So, actually, I was going to... So, Faith, did you have a couple questions you wanted to ask, or you just wanted to add to bring some kind of... I was telling everybody, I was like... I was sort of looking at the list of things I was looking at. So, do you want to talk about Bigfoot? Or do you want to talk about... Because it was kind of funny. I was sitting talking to somebody about Bigfoot, and they go, are you talking about the Sasquatch? I said, yeah. They're one and the same. But when the person asked me the question, it's almost like they're asking me like they never heard the Bigfoot thing. And they're right. I mean, if you watch the commercials on television, it's messing with Sasquatch. It's not messing with Bigfoot. And we actually had a guy on the show. On my daytime show when I was still doing it, we had someone on our show called Sasquatch Spirit. He came on the show, and one of the questions I asked him, I said, are the Bigfoot and the Sasquatch, are they mad at us right now because we're exploiting them by doing commercials? And he was like, he said, I don't know, but next time I run into one, I'll ask. But he came up on the subject, too, because we were talking about Atlantis and that kind of stuff. And I guess at one time, there was a lot of different species and races and that kind of stuff coexisting with Atlantis and that kind of stuff. So Bigfoot was kind of I guess they were some creatures, too, or they were, I don't know, it's like having some things in your culture where you have people that are real hairy and bigger than most people, but they're still human kind of thing, but they look different because they have so much hair. So I was like bringing that one into. So I was like, okay, that's different. You know,
okay.
I saw some pictures of Bigfoot or Sasquatch, whatever you want to call them. Well, these scientists were trying to say, no, that's not what you think it is. It's just an illusion because of the way that the camera was setting. But when you looked at this picture, there was this creature, this hairy creature just sitting there. And then they had something sitting next to it. And they said, no, what it is, it's actually a bird. I said, I ain't no damn bird. It's the hairiest, big-ass bird
I
ever saw.
Whatever you perceive it to be, right? In your own mind's eye.
I think scientists have a tendency to use that to their advantage.
And there's no right or wrong. It's just there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right up. That's up. Well, yeah, true. I'm just saying. I'm just tired of scientists coming up with these long, elaborate explanations.
Well, come on, they got to have some fun too, right?
Not really.
they want to have credit.
Right.
The media gets all the credit for everything, not the scientists or the doctors or any of that, right? It's the media.
Well, yeah, it's kind of crazy to watch that work when it's actually in the act of working. How the media can actually take something and just turn it the way they want it to go.
That's why I don't do the media, and it doesn't do me. So, I mean, if you want to know how to stress, just watch and listen to the media, and that's the best stress disease ever.
Yeah, I know.
And it's free.
Free stress. Let's look at the situation and go, okay, no, I understand. Because I said, told a friend of mine, I said, when I stopped watching the news, I felt after about a week of that, I said, man, this is good. I'm going to continue to do this.
Yeah.
And once you get away from it, it's almost like they have subliminal messages in there, too. Because once you stop watching it for a while, you don't have that interest.
You don't miss it. It's like getting rid of the sugar in your everyday diet after you could be a sugarholic after you don't do it anymore. It's like, what was I eating this for? It tastes nasty. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, the last time I actually drank Mountain Dew was almost probably 2 years ago.
Really? You were addicted to it, the caffeine?
I used to drink it 2 liters at a time.
Wow. Yeah.
Every time I would buy a pizza, I had to get a 2 liter of Mountain Dew.
Wow.
I actually changed my pizzas where I wasn't eating any kind of pork anymore. I actually had chicken, tomato, and spinach. Okay?
Huh.
But then I still drank the Mountain Dew. So I was like, how come I don't feel any better? And then I stopped drinking Mountain Dew, and I started drinking those Arizona green teas in the bottles.
Have you tried the matcha green tea from Japan? It's beautiful. It looks like a green, fresh-cut grass. It's that color. It's a deep green.
No, I got to try that.
Oh, it is awesome, and it's an immune builder, and it's not this chemicalized crap that you get in the store. It's powder, and you mix it with water, and you don't have to... you don't have to boil it or, you know, nuke it or do any of that. You just mix it with cold water or hot water or whatever you want. And I drink it plain, and I love it. And I used to be, you know, I hate to admit it, but I used to live off this chemical warfare of the sugar substitutes.
Oh, yeah.
And now I just drink it plain, and it's just so good. And it has caffeine in it that... You know, it doesn't make you shake or give you any of the reactions that, You know, some of the higher chemical caffeines do.
Right. Okay, so let's bring a couple more people on here. Pam, are you there?
I am.
Whoa, she's back. Okay, Pam, say hello to Faith.
Mm-hmm.
Faith, say hello to Pam.
Hi, Pam.
Okay, here I am.
Okay. Okay, Pam, Faith. Faith, Pam.
Hey, Faith.
Hi, Pam. How are
What's up?
Doing okay.
Well, that's all counts, right, guys? We're looking at the situation
yeah.
going. Yeah, so, let's see.
How's
Pamela's...
my algebra test?
I was going to say, Pamela's in Colorado. Out where you live at, have you ever had any stories or any experiences with Bigfoot? Or Sasquatch?
That's about it.
Sasquatch?
No, I could no. Well, I could say that when I lived up in Wisconsin, when I was raised up in northern Wisconsin, and my parents had a cabin way out in the woods.
Uh-huh.
And me and my friend was there, and we were sitting in this, like, one of the rooms and had the window open, and we were sitting there, and we heard some really loud, something walked by real heavy. Something, we didn't know if it was a bear or what it was, but it kept coming by and
mm-hmm.
growling. I never forgot that. So I don't know if it was Bigfoot or a bear.
Oh, okay. Or maybe an ex-boyfriend. Yeah.
No,
it could
normal.
Have been a Bigfooted bear.
That's true.
It could have been. And they're probably stinky, too.
Some of those things are freaky, I tell you, because I was sitting there looking at some things, too. Bigfoot, because it seems like we've heard more stories in Wisconsin, Ohio, and that kind of thing. But as you go further out to the desert, you have a kind of a, you don't hear much about it. Then when you get to California, and then you start hearing about Sasquatch and that kind of stuff in the woods and that kind of thing. And I'm just like, amazing. But you know, it's kind of amazing how people do believe in this stuff. But we're sitting here talking about messing with Sasquatch, the commercials. I guess it's beef jerky or something. I don't know.
No, I know. They're funny.
Yeah, because I get a kick out of them, especially when that one guy's messing with Sasquatch and Sasquatch walks up and kicks him into a freaking truck or something. Boom.
Is it called messing with Sasquatch or something?
Yeah, it's messing with Sasquatch, because they make sure they use Sasquatch and that kind of thing. Which is kind of funny, because I don't know. Let's see. I'm thinking here. Area code 773. You've been on before, haven't you?
I'm not sure. I think this is my first time calling.
Oh, okay. No, I'm sorry. Earlier this week, there was a guy who called in with... Looks almost identical to your number. He had the same area code, 773. I thought it was him. Sorry.
Really? Okay.
No, what's happening is everybody, see, most of the mics are open right now. So it's open
okay.
mic, we call it. So what you do is we do readings for people. But at the same time, if you have some intuitional things picking up too, you're more than welcome to share them too. That's what it's all about. And if you have a subject, like you don't like lawyers and you want to talk about it, that's what we call it, the round table. Like bringing something
okay.
to the table. We talked about it one night where we were basically bashing on lawyers and doctors.
Oh, right.
How we think they're. I said, you know, how come? Do you know why foreign doctors come here to come to the United States to actually practice medicine? Because it's the only place
right.
you can really make money.
Yes, which is true. Yes,
yeah.
Good money too. Because don't you notice how high your bills be, like medical bills? Like once you go to the hospital, say you go to the ER and you just need like a Band-Aid on your knee. And then, like a week or two later, you get an envelope in them, and it's $300 for that. So just imagine how much they get paid for seeing
no,
so many patients.
No, really, really, they don't get paid that much. That's why a lot of doctors are getting out of the medical field, because of malpractice
Changing.
Insurance is just eating them alive. And
really?
I'm not putting, you know, I'm not crediting doctors. I'm just telling you that's the real life.
So if we look at the situation, because the reason we brought up lawyers last time we were talking on the brought up the lawyers, it was the idea we were talking about imbalances in society.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And we started talking about certain things when things come into a certain part of your life or whoever's it is, and we were talking about people getting thrown in the streets because they didn't pay their rent. I said
yeah.
personally in this situation, there's a lot of people getting thrown in the streets who just really simply couldn't pay their rent. It wasn't because they were holding out and that kind of stuff. And I said, there has to be a different solution, because an imbalance in society tells you that when you've got that kind of thing going on, And the first thing they want to do is, and I also believe it, the ideal welfare, it also works against us too, because it's one of those things that it makes it easier. And I think in some situations, I've been there too, where you say, well, I'll just try it out to get some assistance until I get through this little rough spot. But it becomes a crutch that you're scared to walk away.
And then you want more. You expect more.
Yeah, so you start expecting more. And then I had a fiance when I was living in Florida, and she said, let's go back to Ohio, because she said, I just got approved for Section 8 housing. And, okay, what the heck? I feel like I could go back up there and put my business together and then get us away from that and then put us into a really nice place that was ours. Well, what happened was we got up there, and then she got into the reason she wanted to go back there, because it was her old stomping grounds, drugs and the whole bit. And I'm sitting there going, oh, now I have to deal with the whole freaking family, and then I'm surrounded by jerkweeds. And that's why I called him. Sorry. You had to be there. but the welfare lady told my ex-fiance, do not mess with your neighbor, because she can be really problems, right? Well, we sit and talk to her, and my ex-fiance comes back, and she goes, she seems like she's a real nice person. I said, yeah, but sometimes in situations, you should listen to what people tell you, because looks can be deceiving. And she's like, oh, no, she's great. Well, a week later, I actually ended up going outside and pulling these two apart, because what happened was, she went back over. She was babysitting a kid. She went back over to get him. The lady says, no, you can't have him. And in the process, the girl jumped her. Her daughter jumped her.
What?
Next time I walk over there, they're in the bushes beating the hell out of you. And I'm sitting there trying to pry them apart and that kind of stuff. And as I'm doing that, her mother came in. Never grabbed somebody who does martial arts from behind. They're going to react. They don't care who you are. You're grabbing someone from behind. They're being assaulted. So this woman grabs you from behind. Well, I didn't know who it was, so I shoved her across the freaking porch.
Okay.
And then her daughter gets a hold of a cattle prod or something and tries to zap me with it. She didn't know what she was doing, because she walked up and she went zap, and I'm like looking at her going, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, shit, you're supposed to drop dead. And, nope. And then I said,
didn't work.
She did it again. She did it like three times. I'm sitting there going, if you don't know how to use the damn thing, stop zapping me with the damn thing. And then her son come out of somewhere else, and he started beating on me. He said, leave my mom alone. And I looked at this guy and said, dude, all I'm trying to do is get out of this freaking yard and go home.
And help them get off of each other. So how many people jumped on you that day?
About three people. And one person went flying across the table. The other one went flying across the porch. And I said, if you're going to grab me and try to assault me from the behind, I don't care who you are. You're going to go flying somewhere, because I'm defending myself. If you're going to do that stupid shit, then it was just the idea of the son. He goes, that's my mama. That's my mama. Okay, dude, fine. Go help her, but quit beating on me. He goes, well, how come you're not falling down? I'm like, because you're about as weak as a freaking calf. And I said, it's just the idea of being beat on. You just
it's supposed to hurt, right?
Yeah, they just figured I was going to drop like a sack of potatoes. And they're just going to look at the guy going, I said, stop beating on me. Let me get my freaking ex-fiance. Well, at that time, it was my fiance. And the kid that we were babysitting, just let us go home. That's all we want to do. We don't care. But, you know, don't grab somebody and then kind of freak out because they defend themselves. And that was the whole thing. But I was sitting there going, this is why I didn't want to move back to Ohio and be in a freaking Section 8 neighborhood, because all I seen was drugs and people. And this one guy, he was a cool guy, but he was like drunk 95% of the time. And everybody thought, he's a cool guy. I said, yeah, but he got no liver.
And then that especially people that get high. I know people that are close to me that get high, and they are not. You can't trust people that get high. Their attitudes shift very quickly.
That's the truth. Because my ex-fiance, when she wasn't doing anything, she was the nicest person. She was really generous and the whole thing. But as soon as she started smoking pot, she went from being generous to being the most selfish person in my life. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, she goes, why don't you smoke pot with me? And then they start trying to get you to come back down their level instead of, you know,
yeah.
They say, you need to love me for who I am. And then she said,
and what I do not do.
And then she said, pot, it's a part of me. I'm like, I'm sorry, dear, but you're a whole lot deeper than that pot. And then she goes, but it helps me get through the rough times. I'm sort of going, what am I, chopped liver? I've been supportive and this and that and the other and that kind of stuff. And now a weed has taken my place as being supportive. So I was like, I was a little angry about that one, being replaced by a weed. I mean, I can understand being replaced by another boyfriend, but a bag of weed, huh? Isn't that kind of crazy? It makes you think, doesn't it? Wow, priorities are really kind of shot in that neighborhood. It was a kind of a great situation, but it was like one-sided for a while. I'm pretty sure a lot of people can identify with those relationships where you have one person who kind of goes off on the whole thing, and every time you try to help them out, try to point things out to them, all they want to sit there and look at you and get mad at you because they're trying to say that you're mean to them. And even though they're taking all your money and selling, buying drugs and that kind of drinking or whatever it is, they never see what they're doing.
But that was your growth, right?
Yeah, it was, because I tell people in readings, I said, just because a reader tells you that someone's coming back in your life does not mean you get back with them. It's usually a lot of times they come back in your life to see that, because you've been separated from each other for a while. So now you're supposed to see them for who they really are. And that's what it was. She called me back up. And she started talking to me on the phone about a month. What was it? Bad. 6 months ago? And all she did, I was sitting there listening to her talk, and she was complaining and bitching about everything. I started thinking to myself, going, oh, my gosh. She's still right where she was when I left her.
Yeah.
So I was sitting there going, that's what, she's still there. I'm not going back. Because when I was in Florida, when I met her, something told me not to go to Florida. I was in Florida and said, need to stay in Florida and do something with that whole thing and not go back to Ohio. And I didn't listen to my intuition. I went back to Ohio anyway. And it just seemed like there was some good stuff. I was very good at manifesting things anyway. And I did manifest some really good things. She was really good at that motivation thing for me, because she was sitting and said, we can't do this. And I said, yeah, we can't watch. So she was good motivation. Every time she told me I couldn't do something, it just put me out there to prove it even more, that I can do it, and I did it. And she was like, how do you do this? I don't know, I just do. I want you to say thank you and forget about the how and just open your arms to embrace it. And then next thing I know, she was like so happy because we had a brand new bedroom suit. We had a brand new plasma flat screen television. We had cable. We had all this kind of stuff. I had all kinds of stuff in the house. My business was picking up every week, and the whole thing was going good. And she was like, well, we did a lot of work to get this going, didn't we? I said, what's this wee shit? You got a mouse in your pocket? I said, I'm sorry, but all the work I've been doing, I'm going to take credit for that, because I said, you know, I've been doing this and this and this and this. I said, yeah, God and the angels and everybody else has been working with me too, so it's a co-creation thing. But, you know, the idea of putting it in there, I saw my friend, and she got mad about it, because I told my friend, I was like, I have been writing in my journal, I've been doing all this stuff, and all of a sudden now it's coming into play, and now she wants to take credit for it. I said, she said the same thing to me too. She's like, what are you learning here? I was like, everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon, but they don't want to steer. They don't want to do nothing. They just want to ride, you know? And I wasn't too happy about the whole thing. I like to find some, sometimes I think in certain situations we have to take blame too, because I did take on the responsibility of raising her three kids, doing the laundry, doing the floors, and all that kind of stuff while she was at work. I did everything. And I think she got to the point where no one had ever done that before, so she wasn't ready to give it up yet. But, she was pretty easy. I would sit there and, that's my thing. I get with somebody, and the first thing I try to do is see how I can make their life easier. I just wish someone would give it back and do the same thing for me. But,
so in other words, you're saying that you look to give all and above yourself, yet you're not receiving anything back.
Pretty much, yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's one of those things where you got to learn from those places too. That when you're not getting it back, to pull up roots and say, okay, I don't think this was the right path, or this is the right person, and then kind of go in a different direction. But at the same time, I think it was also showing me too, by her taking it all, that I wasn't giving myself anything. I was just giving it all to everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you didn't feel at that time that you deserved it, that you didn't deserve anything to receive anything back?
I wouldn't say I wouldn't. I'd probably say yes. I don't know why. Maybe it was because I was married. When I was married, maybe I didn't feel like I did enough. So therefore, until I got in a relationship after that, I gave everything. And then I was also taught that when you give, that if it's the right person, Well, actually, anybody loving and caring, it should be getting it back. Because I told people, I said, I asked the question. I'm not looking to get anything back when I give. I'm just saying that I just have been taught through all the stuff I've been doing, all the work that I do, and all the things that I've actually read, and everything about spirituality itself, and tells me that when you give all, and you love unconditionally,
you receive,
and when you don't, you know, there's a breakdown there somewhere, and it's like, I feel like sometimes now, I feel like it's, should I really sit around and try to figure it out, or should I just look at it for what it is, because that person's definitely not on the same level that I am.
Right.
Or they would be given back spontaneously, but they're not. And then that's what I'm saying, when she came back in my life, and she started calling me on the phone, I'm like, the first thing that came to my head was, what's she looking for? What is her alternative motive? Because it just seemed like she always had one. I just never noticed it before, because I was so caught up in the situation. And how do we put this? I did notice it, but I wasn't listening. I saw it for what it was, but I was hoping. This is what I told a friend of mine. I said she was pretty abusive too. I remember a couple times of her actually beating me up and beating me to the ground. And I told people, I said, you know something, it didn't hurt. I mean, I'm a bodybuilder. I work out all the time, so I mean, it didn't hurt. But I think it didn't hurt in a physical sense. But I think it did hurt a little bit in the emotional thing, because it was just like, okay, here's a person who says she loves me and cares about me, but when things don't go her way or she gets in this little spoiled brat, she likes to beat people up. But at the same time, she was always jumping my ass and saying, you know something? You're an abusive man because I raised my hand. Or I would get, or how would you put this? It wasn't the idea of raising my hand. It was the idea of being put in a corner and defending myself. And then every time I would try to defend myself, everybody said, well, you don't have a right to do that because she's a woman. And I said, you know something? My thing is, if a person is going to sit there and abuse you, if he's beating you with a ball bat, what are you going to do? Most people say pack up and leave. I said, yeah, but what are you going to do at the moment she's beating you with a ball bat? Do you just sit there and let her do it? Or is there... Everybody's been taught to defend themselves. I think some people just do and spontaneously. And she had a bad habit of putting me in a corner. So when you put somebody in a corner, they have a tendency to fight their way out. And it's exactly what I did. And then and then she said, well, you're one of those abusive men. I think, and at that moment, I just felt like in some ways I was being set up, where she was pushing me, so I would react that way so she could justify what she was doing. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
How about the rest of you guys?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Oh, really? No, tell me. Are you mad at me or something?
As long as you don't play the victim.
I didn't. Mm-hmm. What I would do in the situations when she would do that, I told her, I said, what I would do is, especially we lived in my brother's house. In my brother's house, I had my own office. So when these arguments would break out, I would lock myself in my office, take myself out of the situation, and separate until everybody cooled down so we could actually sit and talk about it later on. But then it got to the point where I was like, enough's enough. And something could just come and tell me to walk off, just leave. And one time I did that. I went to my office, locked the door and everything, and she said, I need to talk to you. I said, nope, I'm not talking to nobody right now. I'm staying right here, and I'm going to cool off and do my meditation, that kind of stuff. And she goes, I need to talk to you. I want to know if my dog's in there. I'm like, your dog's not in here? There's nobody here. It's just me. And she took the door off the hinges and still came in there anyway. And I said, you know something? That just tells me right there, this lady does not respect boundaries. She does not respect anybody. So therefore, I had to make a decision to walk off. It wasn't easy either. I ended up losing everything before I actually made the right choice to get the heck away. Okay, we got 7. Okay, 702. I'm trying to keep track of who's on here. Okay. I'm sorry, sweetie. The lady has the 773 area code. What's your name?
Yes, my name is Tempest.
What is your name?
Tempest.
Tempest?
Yes.
Tempest? Wasn't he the Riddler? I'm sorry. I'm gonna bring everybody else on. So, 706?
Yep, that's me.
Welcome to the show. It's open mic night, so everybody's mic's open, so we're talking and chatting about this out here. If you have a couple questions you'd like to have answered, go right ahead.
I've been listening to you for a little bit, and I talked to you before another day. But you were talking about drinking soda, and Mountain Dew, you quit drinking that?
Yes, I did.
All right. I make kind of, I call it my own soda. What I do is, I got well water and put some honey in there and some apple cider vinegar. Now, depending how sweet you want it, you just add more honey.
Huh.
And the apple cider vinegar gives it the little tang, you know, that people are used to for the soda, the carbonation.
Mm-hmm.
You may want to give that a try. Well, honey's, you know, better for you than
Have you bottled this yet?
I don't bottle it. I just make it, you know, when I...
It sounds like a product to me that you could sell. Seriously.
Yeah. Make it, you know, like, you know, sell you some skeet.
I am serious. This is, everybody's more open now to health consciousness, and that is much better than this sugar crap, the sodas and, you know, all the chemicals and salt and all that crap they put in there. If you knew what went in a soda, nobody's lips would even touch a bottle, or they don't make bottles, tin or whatever that comes in.
Well, the same thing, too, out there. I was talking to Pam. Pam, I don't know if Pam's been up to Manitou Springs, but they got, like, I think 7 or 9 springs up there.
Oh, cool.
Have you been up there, Pam? Manitou Springs?
Yeah, I was actually just there last week. Yeah.
I used to go up to the one up on Ruxton Avenue. It's called the Twin Spring.
Uh-huh.
You should check that one out.
Well, it's pretty nasty, and it smells pretty bad, but it's supposed to be pretty good. It just sucks full of minerals, you know, from up and down. I don't know how far down the earth they're getting the spring from, but it's very, very interesting.
Yeah, because I had that one. The Twin Springs, I drink that one because that's the only I can really tolerate, because a lot of people are talking about they get that one, and then they have a tendency to put lemon in it, too, because it's kind of a carbonation, too. And it's almost like making their kind of soda. And then they have one up closer to the trail, up by Bar Trail, called the Iron Springs. That one, I can't even get near it because the iron is just. But people do drink that one too. I was like, ugh, okay. And then there's another one. Go ahead.
You know something in, you know, how we're supposed to have all this water in our system because our body is comprised of, you know, mostly water. When you add lemon, lime, or anything to water, you're not drinking water anymore because it's a chemical. Even if it's natural, lemon, lime, whatever, it's not pure. So you're taking away from your body when you add stuff to it.
Oh, it's because they're talking about acid. Puts acid in your body.
Yeah.
And there was one guy was talking about the reason he recommended eating and taking coral calcium because it lowers the acid in your body. And they said the lower the acidicity in your body is, the less that you're open to any kind of diseases. So he said coral calcium it's good for vitamins and it's good for calcium, but it also changes the acid in your body and reduces it. So therefore
the pH,
Yeah, it actually strengthens your immune system and that kind of thing. So, therefore, the idea of diseases and that kind of stuff. That's why you said you look at people that live in Japan and stuff who actually eat that coral calcium naturally.
Yeah.
They actually live longer, and most of those people don't start having kids until they're like in their 30s and 40s anyway, and then they live very long. And plus, that's the common denominator was coral calcium and your fishy oils and that kind of stuff. So I was like, huh. So it's like, well, look at the situation and everything else. Let's see, we got, I was going to ask area code 706. What is your first name?
My name is Mark.
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 Yes, we've talked before, Mark. And we got Mark, we got Pam. Say hello to Pam. And we got also Faith. And
I think it might have been Pam or one of the ladies said that if you knew what was in the soda, you wouldn't drink it. Well, I kind of know that because I know a lady that when she was growing up, her parents ran the Coca-Cola bottling company in town.
Mm-hmm.
And she says they were not allowed to drink it.
Really? We work here, but you can't drink it. They couldn't.
Yeah, they owned the company, but they wouldn't let their kids drink it. So evidently they knew something.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, but how could you, I mean, seriously, how could you work for some place like that and honestly be happy with yourself that you're actually a part of distributing that kind of stuff out in the world? Because I found this out with my ex-sister-in-law when she had a heart attack. The very first thing they put on the list for her not to do anymore was drink Pepsi.
Was drink what?
Not to drink Pepsi. That was the very first thing they took out of her diet was she was not allowed to drink Pepsi ever again.
Okay, you want to hear something interesting?
What's
you know what the highway patrol carries with them in their vehicles to clean up blood spills on the freeways? Pepsi.
Pepsi.
Pepsi and Coke.
Yeah, I used to have an
That got me clear out of all the sodas when I started reading that stuff. I was like, no, thank you.
Yep, that'll actually discolor the paint on your car if you let it sit there.
Well, some guys used to use that stuff to clean their windows off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, and it'll eat up a piece of bacon real quick. A raw piece of bacon.
Well, if it does that to blood, imagine what it does to your own blood inside your body.
But the media won't put that on there, right? I'd love it if they just put one commercial on there and let's see how many people get off of it.
Yeah, really. The advertising department
won't allow that.
Well, you could do
one of those drug commercials. This is your brain on Pepsi.
Yeah, really. Put it on Saturday Night Live, right?
Yes. So, yeah, you could. It's like, okay, your car overheats. You don't have any water, so what do you put in there? Pepsi? You know, it foams, it fizzles, but it keeps your car cool.
Definitely.
That'll probably clean out the radiator system also.
Oh, heck yeah. So you need to flush it with Pepsi. You know, they should put those in the, they have the remedies. They have those natural remedies for people. They should just also find take the kind of concept with the Pepsi and that kind of stuff and just write a book on what you can actually do with it to help you around the house.
Oh, another interesting thing they did is, you know those little tubs of margarine?
Uh-huh.
They took a little tub of margarine, opened it up, put it in a garage where it wasn't hot, but it wasn't cold, but it was warm enough for it to, you know, melt, so to speak. Not one single bug bothered it. That's how nasty it was because it's 3% away from plastic.
Oh, really?
Did you know that? Margarine is 3% away from being plastic.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we started going with the whole thing, too, when people get a piece of cheese, you put it on your hamburger, and it just sits there like a dolly. And you're sitting there going, okay, isn't it supposed to melt? No, that's what you put your rubber on. Yeah, you're supposed to use that as a coaster. So,
well,
that's some interesting stuff.
Did any of you ever see that that movie called Super Size Me?
Yes.
That kind of tells you something right there.
I couldn't bring myself to do that.
Especially the French fries. They just stay like that forever.
That's pretty bad.
But really, the people that consume that kind of stuff, I really don't think they care much about anything when it comes to health and, you know.
Well, I don't think they know.
I don't know. You know, I sit there,
but
I'm
if you ask them, do you think that they would give it up? This is not good for you.
No.
Are you still going to consume it?
You'd have to.
Heck no.
You know, try and
convince
them for a
year. I'm going to do what feels good if it kills me. What is it they say? At least I'll die with a smile on my face. Isn't that what they say?
Of course you will. The preservatives keep your lips all
pretty.
Yeah. So, you know, I was sitting there, you know, see, one thing I will sit there and say about the whole thing, guys, and I also want to sit there and say that 760 area code, if you want to talk and chat with us and that kind of stuff, you're on the air, too.
I am?
Yes, you are. But if you don't want to be, you don't have to be. But I'm just saying, join the rest of us and talk. Because what I'm going to say to everybody is like this. I'm a personal trainer. And one thing I found about people is they do know. Did someone fall asleep?
No, we're just good listeners.
Okay. No, I was just saying, with the situation I've been a personal trainer for almost 20 years, too, as much as I've been a psychic. I just do training on a different level, of helping people pinpoint things on a spiritual level, right? So when you sit here and look at the situation, I've talked to people and that kind of stuff, they do know what's healthy and what's not healthy, and they still have a tendency to do it anyway, but they want to use the victim thing, too, as well. They sit here and go, well, I can't help myself. I'm sitting there going,
okay.
Really? And nail your
okay,
arm
you just,
to the table.
You just narked on yourself. So you're telling us that consuming Mountain Dew was an experiment for your clients, right?
Well, I never told about that part. That's personal life.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, it was one of those things that come into a point. I smoked a long time, too. And I used to brag about being the most healthiest smoker, you know, bodybuilding and that kind of stuff. Because I could work out. I mean, when I was down in Florida and I was smoking and kind of thing like that, I could actually leg press half a ton. And
wow.
I was a very, very strong person. I could bench press about 450. I could incline and declines and 315s and that kind of stuff and curls.
Was this with your brain or your body?
No, this was my body. No,
oh,
seriously.
Okay.
Yeah, I did this all because people were freaked out because I'd walk in and they'd say, well, you know, you do this. I'm like, really, but what's this? So I'd work out, and it was kind of funny, too, and working out. And then I moved to Colorado. And when I got to Colorado, that's where I quit. Something happened, and something came over the whole thing and just kind of reassessed the whole situation. Maybe it was the altitude or whatever. But I came to the point of saying, okay, I love to work out, and I love to smoke, but once in a while, one's got to go. And I decided to keep working out, and then I haven't smoked probably since 2003. So I haven't smoked since then, and I have no intention of doing it ever again. Same thing with some of the, you know, and it's true, man. You get away from certain kind of foods, and I swear there must be something in those foods that makes
there
you want
is.
To eat more. You know?
What made you get away from smoking? What was your moment, reason for quitting?
I need to hear that because I want to quit, and you got a good method. I'm willing to try it.
Yeah, it's called, you have to, see, one thing I've noticed when I worked with other people too is you have to be ready. You personally have to be ready to quit smoking. And I was
at
that point.
It has to be your idea and nobody else's,
right.
Or it won't work.
It can't be hypnosis because even hypnosis is still a suggestion from somebody else. That's
mm-hmm.
why hypnosis will help you with about anything else except for smoking. And see, one thing about smoking is, the one thing I don't like is these stupid commercials on television saying that cigarette companies have killed this many people. All they do is supply a product that you guys keep buying. That's why I look at it. And I was
mm-hmm.
a smoker too. I said, you know, no one made me to smoke. I went and chased down the last freaking dime so I could get me a freaking pack of cigarettes.
What was your reason though? What was your reason to begin smoking?
Oh, I was pissed off at a girlfriend. Seriously, I was pissed off at a girl. I was playing a rock and roll band. Some girl pissed me off. I said, you know something? I got a cigarette. I grabbed it. You know, I ended up smoking a pack of cigarettes before the night was over with. And boy, did I pay for it that late the next day. But for some reason, I still kept on doing it. Now, the two reasons I quit smoking, I got sick of bumming people's looks on their faces when you bummed a cigarette. Well, I used to say three reasons. Then there was the second reason was, I like working out, and it started interfering with that. And then I started seeing these people that were like hitchhikers or homeless or something like that, what they would do on anything else to get a cigarette.
And they pick up people's cigarette butts from really nasty places too, and put it in their mouth. That's enough to make anybody quit. Seriously.
Well, when you quit smoking, too, and you start hanging around people who smoke, and you start realizing how their clothes smell, their hair smells,
mm-hmm.
and then you start thinking to yourself, oh, my goodness, did I smell like that? And and people would say, yes, you did. And you're like, oh, man, you could use any kind of cologne you wanted to. That's not going to cover that crap up. So I quit smoking. Now, I do tell people all the time when they smoke around me, they go, oh, since you quit smoking, I guess it bugs you, huh? No, it doesn't bug me. When I was in Daytona Beach, I actually lived in this house where everybody smoked. Now, that bugged the shit out of me because everybody smoked, and it was like walking into a bar. And I was sitting there going, oh, I got to go outside. I used to take walks all the time. But if I'm casually talking to somebody, I used to have people come in my shop. If it's just one person and they're smoking a cigarette, I don't care. That's their choice. They can do what they want. And I'm not going to sit and tell them one way or the other. It's their decision what they're going to do. And I feel like, you know, people get pressured into doing things. It's like they're saying, let the courts try to impose counseling. That is the most stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. You cannot make people do counseling. Because all they have to do is go to counseling, sit there for about 2 hours, and wait to get done. And then they'll leave.
Right.
They'll go through the whole process. And then the government, what is the government really doing here?
Wasting money.
Well, actually, they're making money. Because most people nowadays have to pay for that counseling one way or the other. Even if it's in payments, you got to pay for your own counseling. And I'm sitting there, and the counseling is almost as high, it's higher than it is if you went to a private person. So people, you know, it's like I look at that's what we're talking about, another imbalance is the justice system. I'm tired of hearing people say, it might not be perfect, but it's the only one we got. I said, it's because you haven't come up with another one. It needs to be really reformed and start saying, because I was actually reading law books, and it says in law books, it says certain laws, you can only charge this amount of much on a fine. But I've never read anywhere else where there's appeals or not like that where they can change it. It's just the government just did. They actually violated their own laws. We'll charge anything we feel like it because the economy's high and they justify this and this and this. And you know, everything's high is because everybody keeps jacking everything up. If we took everything and put it right back where it was before, everybody would still be paying the same thing. It's just that it's getting blown out of proportion. And the doctor, when I was talking about doctors, the fees and the stuff they charge is because of the idea of what they think they're worth. But some people have a tendency to really take it to extremes. And I understand insurance and that kind of stuff, but the way to cure all that kind of stuff is the idea of looking at situations and going, okay, you trusted this doctor to do this and this and this. There are doctors who do things. I've seen this so many times. I'm surprised they don't have malpractice suits on them. But there's some doctors that seem to get away with anything. There was one doctor who did surgery on my great aunt. She was 82 years old, and he even said before he did the surgery that it wouldn't do any better. It wouldn't do any good. He just felt like he needed to do it. I don't know why he needed to do it, since it wasn't going to do anything. It wasn't going to change anything except for this $50,000 payment he got for doing it from her. I think it was her insurance or something. Anyway. It was just kind of a crazy situation. I've seen it. I've actually heard 3 or 4 cases like that where doctors will go in and take out a gallbladder, or they'll take out a appendix. Nothing wrong with them. Just
well, that's
it.
The magic word, insurance.
So
he didn't have insurance.
Yeah, we're talking about, right, because it was like looking at doctors that were. I think it was one of those things where the doctors were taking advantage of the insurance companies, and now the insurance company has come back, and now they're taking. Now they're coming back on them. You know, you reap what you sow. So they've been taking advantage of these insurance companies for so long. Now it's coming back on them, and now they're taking advantage of them. And so we're just kind of looking over the whole thing. Because I tell people, I said, you know, insurance, if you trace insurance down to the roots of when it began, it was actually called protection by the mafia. And now it's like an industry, insurance. But you trace it back. What they're saying is, you pay me this amount of money in case something happens. And I've seen this in the mafia. Give us some money so you don't want this to happen to your business. Just in case, give me $50,000. You know. But either way you go about it, insurance doesn't matter what it's traced to, and it's a legitimate business now. But it's still a business that's based on fear.
Mhm.
Which, in the process of working on spirituality, is what you're trying to get away from, where you don't have any fears, or you let fears motivate you to go in another direction. And insurance just tells you, well, just sit back on this here. And you start to look at the situation of the business itself and how much it gets exploited. It's like a continuous circle of people just exploiting each other. You got people who, I think in some ways, if you wouldn't have insurance, they wouldn't have killed their spouses.
Right.
Because it would never came up. You wouldn't say, well, $260,000. And so this lady, instead of dealing with her insecurities, decides to kill her husband, thinking money's going to solve her insecurities, when probably it did the opposite. Because I do believe that there are people out there who do get away with stuff. There's a percentage. It's everywhere. Percentages of everywhere. Because we were sitting here talking, and we've actually, I mean, shoot, all the movies, all these little shows that pop up now, cold cases, where a few things have been sitting around where people did get away with stuff. I've heard the law say that no one ever gets away with anything. We will catch them. And then I started noticing all these things out there that contradicts these things. You know, like someone saying, you can't get hit in a crosswalk. Really? Where have you been? It happens all the time.
Really?
Like, I said, I'll give you this. You're not supposed to hit somebody in a crosswalk. But to sit there and say it hasn't happened, and then we were talking about people before, where there's things out there, they hear these things, but they still try to hang on to their own image of it, saying, if I walk on a crosswalk, I won't get hit. Why is that? Because you're not supposed to hit me. I said, oh, no, I take my one step further. I don't get hit in a crosswalk because I got protection. I got angels and guides that are protecting me. And to prove it to you, I actually walked in an intersection one time. Because I was actually a little distraught from a girl who had broken up with me. So I was like walking. I walk up to the intersection. I look at the light. And the light was green. And I said, okay, the light's green means I can go. So I walked across the street. And all these cars came to a screeching stop and looking at me like I was nuts. I'm sitting there going, I said, well, how come these people look at me like I'm crazy? I look up at the light and I'm sitting there going, I'm thinking to myself, green. Green means I shouldn't be in the middle of the intersection. So I looked at everybody, and it was one of those situations. I apologized. Sorry, guys. Please do not run me over. So what's the situation of area code 760? Did you have a question?
Actually, no. I was just listening.
Okay. The reason I opened the mic for everybody, in case you want to say something, you can go right ahead and say something. Everybody gets to voice their opinion at the round table. So does anybody have another subject they'd like to tap on? Why? How come we don't have Sasquatch as lawyers? Do you think lawyers get paid too much?
I don't know if they actually get paid. It's probably more or less extortion.
Well, I was sitting here talking to one lawyer, and he said the reason he charges so much is because he went to school, and he had bills, grants, you know, not grants, but loans and that kind of stuff he had to pay back. Now, the guy had been practicing for over 10 years. So I was kind of like thinking to myself, going, if this dude still owes loans from college, then he don't know how to manage his money. Or maybe he does. He's still paying on his bills, but he still had a nice Porsche. He had a huge freaking house up in the mountains. He had another
house. A lot of those college loans, I don't know what a percentage is, but I don't think a lot of people even pay them back.
That's true, too, but a lot of people, see, people in professions like that, I noticed one thing about a lot of people when you get loans and that kind of stuff, if you own property, they go after you. People who don't have any property and that like that, they don't go after them because realistically, you can garnish someone's wages, but they'd like to have it all back in one sum. And what happens, a lot of people don't realize, too, is that when you go to court, if you're sitting there paying, like, say, for instance, you get behind your electric and the gas or whatever, and you're paying, you just send them a dollar every month. If you go to court, the judge is going to look at that and say, well, this person's been trying. And he might actually even side with you and say, okay, a dollar a month. Okay?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
So what happens is, that's why a lot of these companies try to get real pushy with you to make you pay those bills before they get to court. Because what's going to happen is they're not going to get half of it, because a lot of times, a lot of people's bills are nothing but fees and late fees and all kinds of stuff on top of it. So it's not even actually the bill. I had a thing where Chevy Chase. I was at Chevy Chase Bank, and I bounced a check, and it wasn't even a check. It was actually what I did. I made a transaction with my debit card, and they came back and charged a fee. It wasn't even me. It wasn't me. I had the money there, but they charged a fee, annual fee of $25, which made everything bounce. But instead of taking the blame for them for what they did, and, you know, I consider looking at the situation, I had a bad feeling about it when I made the transaction in the first place. I should have listened to myself and not done it. But at the same time, to be charged for, you have an overdraft of $4.95, and they charge you a late fee of $34.
Yeah, I know. I had a discussion with my bank about that.
Yeah, but there's no justification for that. I don't care what they say. They can do what they want, but when you sit and look at the situation and say, okay, you know, well, once you make it even, that's really unbalanced right there. Because next thing I know, I went from a bill being like $50. Next thing I know, they're coming to me for something over $200. So we had to do a lot of chiseling on that one to get back down the whole thing. Then they had the company sent me a thing that says they'll do a settlement, and they wanted $120 of it. Which at the time, I wish I would have had. I would have done it. Would have been done and over with. But sometimes in this situation, I mean, the rest of you guys, I mean, you ever had any problems with banks and that kind of stuff? Don't everybody
answer? Yeah, well, the cell phone companies, they do the same thing, too. There was a time, over a year ago, he and several other people that I know of, anyhow, that I knew, they said that they got all these extra minute charges on their phone. And I called them up and told them, I says, I didn't make all these calls. I don't have all these minutes. Well, you know, look at my past history. You know, I don't use all the minutes that I'm allotted.
Uh-huh.
And basically, I just told them, their position was, well, our records show you made the calls. I said, well, then just set it off right now and be done with it. Well, they're still calling me about it. So, well, collection agent, actually.
Right. Well, you know, it's one of those things where you look at it and say, okay. If you look at the situation, you want to come up with a positive way to deal with this situation, it's look for alternatives. But I tell people, you know, when you get in a situation where you got a company you don't want to deal with, sometimes we get kind of stuck in these situations because we look at bills. You know, we look at the bill, oh, I don't want to sit there and break a contract or something like that. Because some of these companies really get crazy with that stuff too. Like if you got a contract with AT&T or something like that and you want to break it, some of these things can charge you like almost $200 for cancellation.
Yeah, well, I didn't.
Whoa.
Actually, over. I was just on like a month to month, you know. So I didn't have to go through that. I was just, you know, contesting that they're all their extra charges that, you know, they had. And, they do that because most people will just pay it.
That's what I'm saying. Most people do just pay because they don't want to. You know, we were talking about this before too about responsibility, and I think there's sometimes when it comes to situations like that, what responsibility is kind of like lost its tone or what that really means. Because a lot of people just pay things, like you said, pay things. They'll pay those fees. They'll pay everything else, not realizing they're being taken advantage of. And some of them do know they're being taken advantage of, but they don't push the system. I mean, it's like people who know that there's certain cops that are bad, but they listen to them anyway because of the position they have, and they're scared that that might come back on them.
That really pushes my button when a company tries to take advantage of a person. And even if it's some little amount, like, you know, $20 or whatever, that $20 to someone could be like $200 in their you know, life. So it just really riles me because I'm thinking, if they're doing it to me, they're doing it to a lot of people that don't either have the strength, the time, or the guts to stand up to them.
Well, exactly. $20 times, say, 1 million customers. How much is that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's good for them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all right because it'll come back on them, the company, whether they, you know, have a bad year or whatever. It might not be that next day or that next year, but it'll come back on them. And they'll pay some way.
That's one thing I was telling people, too. That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
And I was saying, you know, the situation will come back on them. Yes, it definitely will. Because when you start seeing companies unfold or fold up and there's and things are happening and they're going, I don't know what happened. And you're sitting there going, I do.
Yeah.
And now you're paying for it. I mean, we were talking about that last week, too. We were talking about a friend of mine came to me with Louisiana got hit with that freaking hurricane or whatever it was. And then the flooding and all kind of stuff. And she goes, doesn't it kind of baffle you? Why did that happen? I'm like, no. It's water cleansing. I said, look, if you're going to sit here and clap, if you're going to sit and brag about being Sin City, pretty soon a cleansing will happen. And it didn't surprise me or nothing. Like, I mean, it's almost like I saw things like that happening.
There's
a couple
places
about like that.
New Orleans and Katrina.
Yeah.
Well, I have a lot of respect for water. Let me tell you that much.
Heck yeah, it'll do you in quick, but it can also be your best friend.
I have a question.
Somebody is sleeping. Oh, go ahead.
I was listening to this show on the Chief Radio not too long ago, and they were talking about walk-ins. And I had gone to a spiritual, this group I'm in, the light worker circle I'm in, and she says she's a walk-in, and how she talks and everything, and I thought it was kind of cool. Do you know a lot about that? I thought it was kind of interesting.
Yes, walk-ins. Yes, the idea of walking out, walking in. There's a lot of people will go and they'll get into accidents and they'll be in the hospital, and when they come out of the hospital, they're a totally different person because it's like one person left, and that one comes in. Yeah, it's like one spirit comes in, one spirit leaves.
Are you speaking of like when someone's is at like death's door, or what are you speaking of?
The souls like switch, you know.
Yeah, they call them walk-ins. What it is like I said, I'll give you an example of some people who've actually used it to hide their own personalities. But like a friend of mine, like my ex-fiance was in the hospital from a suicide. She said it wasn't a suicide attempt, but she did overdose. And then they said when she came out of that thing, she was totally different. And I said,
in other words, you have to be like at death's door to. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, it's not like you'd be on the subway and someone just pops in your body. No.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, something
right.
they were talking about it could be traumatic as well. Yeah. It's something like a real traumatic event in your life, and you've been like the guy that wrote Amazing Grace, you know. I don't think he was a walk-in, but you know, he looked back at his life and he changed. And
My ex-fiance tried to say she was a walk-in too, and I was like, if you're aware and say, okay, I'm not like this anymore, but I'm like this. There are certain changes that go on people when they do have near-death experiences where you open up new senses and that kind of stuff, which doesn't always mean a walk-in. It just means you're coming aware of some of your gifts and that kind of stuff that were always there in the first place. It's just certain things had to happen before you became aware of them. And she tried
to use that. What do they call us that aren't in the hospital or near-death experience that are receiving and acknowledging our changes, but they're not like overnight, they're just like a gradual change, but we see it ourselves. That's not called a walk-in. What's that called?
It's called spirituality 101 as you're getting older. You know, because I mean, I did the same thing because when I was younger.
Wait, back up.
Okay.
We don't get older. We only grow wiser. Age is a number, not a disability like too many people
Yeah, we started talking about some people actually getting healed, and they wasn't getting healed physically; it was mentally. Like people would sit there and say, when you hit 40 some years old, you start losing your sight, your hearing goes, and that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's a bunch of crap. Yeah.
Well, see, what I'm saying is, those people go to church and they said, I got healed. Well, they think it's a physical thing. I think it's more mental because now they're telling themselves, you know, like something's coming in. There's another influence coming in saying, and counteracting those ones that they were told before, saying you're going blind, and then they come in there and the preacher will say, you're healed. And then the mind hears that and then it takes those bad habits and gets rid of them. It's like an instant kind of cleansing, the kind of thing. And then people say, well, I can see. I can do this. Oh, great. You know, fantastic. But I've been there and I've never really sensed a physical change, but I did feel like that their thinking had changed. So now they perceive things differently. And it's been proven that, well, we've seen this before, in power suggestion of giving people sugar pills and say this is the most powerful painkiller there is, and give it to somebody, and sure enough, burn victims and all kinds of people across the scale have done the same thing, and they, for some reason, the pain goes away. So the brain really is a big thing about healing oneself, too, as long as you
It's the biggest organ in our whole body, and you can also make yourself bleed, and you can stop yourself from bleeding, too.
Yeah, I used to go to the plasma center all the time. I go in there, the lady goes, your pulse is too high. I said, okay, no problem, hold on. And then she goes, she checked it again. She goes, how do you do that? Because I wanted to. And she was like, again, and I've heard this a couple of times. I've even heard this in movies. They're like, one of these days we'll be able to change the subconscious mind. I'm like, what do you mean someday? Yeah, it happened yesterday. I changed my mind. So I was like, it's amazing how I like, there are some movies out there that promote things, and there's other movies that have a tendency to want to take you backwards. Because I was sitting there telling a friend of mine, I was like, do you think time travel does exist? I said, I do think that it does, because it's amazing how you hear scientists and doctors and stuff that come out and say, we're going to come up with a, we'll be able to come up with a cure in about 10 years for this and this and this. And you're like, well, where do you come up with these time frames? Like, they already
right.
know. They already know something's up, and then they're going to sit there and introduce things to you. It's like I was watching Men in Black, where they have all these gadgets and stuff. And what they do is each year they introduce something into the mass consciousness. And this is, okay, now we're going to change the CDs to this and this and this, when they'd already had it for years. If you trace a lot of things back, curling irons and all kind of stuff, there wasn't something that was invented in the 20th century. A lot of things were actually invented way back.
Yeah, like the ice cream.
Right, ice cream, curling irons. It wasn't one of those things that was fashionable, or was it? I think sometimes they have a tendency to introduce things into the now, right now, what they've been using for since the 1920s, and
make it a trend.
Right, yeah, and they make us feel like they just came up with it when they've had it forever, and we know that for a fact with a lot of things anyway. If you got the money, you can get anything you want, and I think that's kind of a stupid thing too, that you can actually buy many variations of a CD player. But one will last you forever and one will last you a week. And they can still sell it. I think something should last. Cause I actually bought some CD players from Walmart. And they was like, ooh, look at this. You can get this for $9.99. Well, you drop it one time and that's it. So,
well, you don't even have to drop it. You could just use it for a week and it'll bust up. But speaking of ancient stuff, you're talking about... have you ever seen the... there's history shows or whatever, the carvings to the helicopter that was carved in, I think, one of the tombs.
Yeah, I was actually going over some things on my day when I used to have a daytime show called The Missing Spiritual Link. And I was saying, we used to come up with stuff about Atlantis and talking about Egypt. And I said, if you go to Egypt, this is a proven fact, if you go to Egypt, there's a lot of places. Well, as they built the pyramids and these temples and stuff, you're talking about the carvings and stuff.
Yeah.
The one thing that baffles them the most is to not find soot in those tombs and back in the pyramids and that kind of stuff. When if you sit here and think about it, of all the time supposedly they put in on those things, there should be soot everywhere. I mean, really a lot of soot. But they were sitting here going, no, that's what it is. Because I actually did this. I actually was on my show. I had a vision. We were focusing on Khufu, which is actually the guy who was supposed to build the Great Pyramid. And I focused on that and got a vision as like an answer. I said, okay, people said that it took them 28 years to build that pyramid. Well, if you really do the math on that, in order to build that pyramid like it is with those big ton blocks, to do that in 28 years, that means you would have had to put a block in about every 2 minutes. So
who do you think built them?
Well, my vision came to me like this. It said Khufu had everybody working, because actually across from the Great Pyramid, there's a Great Temple, which is not there anymore, but it used to be a Great Temple. So what happened was he had all the workers, because everybody said, well, there's workers everywhere. Well, he had all the workers working on the tomb, on the temple, and the other extremities around that. But he himself built the Great Pyramid by himself. He was actually a descendant. He was one of the last descendants from Atlantis, who had some great telepathic abilities. he can move blocks. And what it was an arrogant thing for him to do. And he got really carried away and built a pyramid himself by moving these huge blocks with his vital way of levitation. But what happened was, in the process of doing that, he also had an aneurysm. He had a blood clot, and we had a blood vein bust in his brain, and it killed him. And if you really look at the situation of Khufu and try to do some history on that dude, a lot of it disappeared. It's almost like they don't want you to know.
Was I there?
Huh?
Was I there?
Really?
Yeah.
The answer I got was yes.
I think I came from, someone told me I was in Egypt at one time.
You were in Egypt twice.
I was.
Yeah, you were in the New Kingdom, which is actually not the Old Kingdom, that's the very first kingdom. You were in the Middle Kingdom and the New Kingdom, which is more toward, you were like, I get the impression you could have been around 2600 B.C. So you were actually around Khufu. It was kind of funny how you brought that up. But then you were also a descendant of Cleopatra.
Me?
No, the girl behind you. Yes, you.
okay. Cool.
But no.
I don't know if that's cool or not.
Well, you know, to be either a descendant or more of like a servant to her. Which with Cleopatra, from what I've understood about some people I've dealt with and worked with, Cleopatra was really ugly, but she was a very intelligent, very educated girl. Nothing like you see on television. So in the sense of personality, that kind of stuff, and killing yourself and that kind of stuff, debatable. She was dramatic. She reminds me of my ex-fiance a lot. But also the situation, Cleopatra was a very intelligent woman. She knew, I think, 7 languages. She's a very, very educated woman. But the woman, when they sit here and have her on television, like Liz Taylor and these other girls who played her, they're beautiful. She didn't look like that. Trust me. And that's not a good thing or a bad thing. It's just that her descendants, where she came from, she's basically not really true. She wasn't a true Egyptian either. She was almost like she was like Moses, where she was intercepted from somewhere else, and then she was taken on and raised as an Egyptian. Except for her,
Do you consider her maybe a hybrid?
Yeah, I think I get the impression she was a hybrid. No, seriously, a hybrid is more closer to it, because the ideal of being a combination of three races.
I believe you take a look at everybody in the world, all the different races, the looks, the colors, and shapes and sizes. This all came from different places.
Yeah, because the idea of Adam and Eve and coming from...
Well, if you think of Adam and Eve, then everybody should look like them, the way I look at it.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy how they have Adam and Eve, too, because Adam and Eve wasn't white. I hate to say that, but that was, you know, it was more like, it was like Atlanteans. Atlanteans were more dark and black. They're olive color. Anybody who was
wasn't
born...
The,
go ahead.
Yeah, wasn't the Garden of Eden supposedly in Iraq?
Yes, pretty much. I mean, I was sitting there, I've actually done some, I've been trying to incorporate some of the things I was doing on my morning show into my nighttime show, where it's like looking at things and telling people that Atlantis was the ideal of intersection of a lot of races, but at the same time, looking at how they influenced other races too, because we were looking at a lot of things. We're sitting there looking at like Pakistan, where they talk about the magic carpet, when it could have actually been an Atlantean vehicle. We were talking about I think it's in Peru, they have those runways. They call them runways, and they got animals and stuff, that these big animal figures and stuff, you really can't tell what they are unless you're in the air. And they were talking about runways, and you can see these things from the air, and you can tell what they are, and that kind of stuff. But the first thing they said was alien. I was like, why do you guys always think it's alien? If I was coming from another planet, would I need a runway to land on? I don't think so. I would just land. And if I had that kind of technology, what would I need a runway for? So I was like, no, think about this. It seems more logical. Atlanteans, in the heyday of their air flight, you know, like we started off, when it was primitive, and we've evolved, and now we have all we have. And then I think we should actually be more involved now than we should, than we have it. We get the money thing out of the picture, and just start developing things because we want to develop them, not wait for the money to show up. I think the government, everybody should put a lot of energy into these projects and doing them, because they do that with their own stuff. We need to come up with money for their own projects. Why couldn't they do the same thing for NASA? And I'm not saying NASA is like on the ups and ups all the time either, but. And I actually saw something that kind of freaked me out, was to sit there and look at the government, and the army had space program that was way, way farther advanced than NASA. And the reason everybody went with NASA was because it was, like one guy said, the lower bidder to do those kind of projects is what's building all those things. You know, the lowest bidder and coming up with this, you know, all this kind of stuff. That's why we have accidents. But the Army had come up with a system where the ship, the shuttle they had was even smaller and more effective, and actually more maneuverable than the space shuttle. The space shuttle is really primitive. And I told some people, I said, well, we look at Atlantis and we go, what if I told you guys that the government has had a Stargate program since 1919? And they've been using that thing to go back and forth. Because I told this lady, I said, do you ever look at these pictures they take from the Hubble telescope? Did you ever look at the pictures? The pictures are so vivid, like they're taking pictures from that universe. And people go, you know, they go, now you say something about it. Yes. And I said, kind of gives you an idea that maybe the Stargate program does exist.
Yeah, I've heard of that secret space agency you're talking about.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with Men in Black. It's the ideal, the men in red. I don't know. But, yeah, Will Smith is, like, secretly going from universe to universe, and everybody thought it was MacGyver. So, as I'm just saying, some of these things, I think a lot of these things exist. We were starting to talk about, when they were talking about the Philadelphia Project, and when you watch the movie, and you see this big old naval ship disappear, and I say, well, what really happened in that situation was the government was working with alien and Atlantean technology, because Atlanteans, we started talking about the Atlanteans still being around, and people are like, okay, how is that possible? Well, it's kind of an elaborate story, but the way I look at it is, like, there's been five or six different people who said they found Atlantis. Now we have one who says he found Atlantis was up by, we got Australia. There was one person who said China. There was another person who talks about the Bermuda Triangle. There's another person talking about Iceland. And I said, I've actually done past life readings for people who are actually from all those places. They said they were from Atlantis. Now, how is that possible? I said, well, it is possible. Let's say we have the main island of Atlantis in the Mediterranean. And then this culture evolved. They had space flight. They invented a crystal energy that basically gave them endless energy. So therefore, that would probably, if you found a source of energy that was endless, you wouldn't charge anybody for it because you wouldn't need to. Because it would just be a crystal energy and you do the whole thing, right? So then I think your technology would jump up. I think your technology and your advancements would jump really fast, wouldn't they? Boom. You know,
Each one of us has that energy. It's inside of us. We just don't know how to use it.
Well, see, that's one thing about Atlanteans. They knew how to use that. So the idea, the reason they focus on so much on positive energy is because they took that positive energy. You have a society. Everybody's positive. Everybody's focusing on nothing but their career and their lives and doing what they want to do. Not in a selfish way, but to add to the community, all right? Because the Atlanteans thought this way, that the stronger the individual, the stronger society, not the other way around. So it wasn't simply going, okay, this person have a hard time, just give them a check. No, they really focus on that person to find out why that person felt the way they did, and help them work with themselves on the inside. I think if you have telepathic powers where you can actually talk to somebody mentally, you seem to get somewhere quicker. They don't use the outside physical stuff to get in the way. So they came up with this. So we have mass consciousness, right? Mass consciousness, and nothing but positive energy. And then they was able to take a crystal And I actually have pictures of this too. They found these caverns down by the Bermuda Triangle and also in Mexico. Okay, these huge crystals. These crystals about the size of trees. Huge crystals, quartz crystals, the size of trees. Okay, can you imagine that? Okay, you got this. So they said that they took the crystal. They take the positive energy that the mass consciousness is creating, and they use that and created a power source. Okay, so you take this power source. You can take it anywhere you want to, as long as you got crystals and mass consciousness in a positive way. And I was trying to tell my friend. I said, "Doesn't that sound familiar? It's called the economy. It can either work for you or it can work against you. If you're thinking positive, it works for you. If you work against it in a negative way, it works against you." And I said, "That's what the Atlanteans knew. So they always striving for everybody to be positive. If that was the way it is, then we'd always be going forward, the positive energy. But once you create that kind of energy source, you can do anything." And that's what they did. I mean, their technology jumped from flying around in airplanes to using energy to zap around the country. So if you did that, then more than likely you wouldn't just stay in Mediterranean, would you? You'd probably... I sat there and started looking at the world and started noticing that there's influences clear across the planet, clear across the globe of Atlantean influence. It's just I think a lot of people didn't think of that. There have been people thinking, but not on the masses. They all want to think alien races. Like, that's more mysterious. I kind of like the ideal that it actually came from here.
But speaking of positive energies, what would happen if we would start opening up our minds to believe versus trying to prove our points to everybody? Who's
well,
right
lot, yeah.
and who's wrong?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like we do. Like
so
we do.
Right, because I was there talking to someone about Atlanteans. I said I saw a vision of Atlanteans helping the government, and then they stopped helping the government because Atlanteans believed in one thing is, okay, they told the government, so when you're doing all this stuff, don't tell anybody about what we're doing. It wasn't the idea to hide it. It was the idea, don't tell anybody so we can actually focus on it, because Atlanteans thought about that. We're focusing on the now. But what the now means is each individual's now is what they're doing at that moment, not what the neighbor's doing. That's a waste. They always thought that was a waste of energy to even focus on anybody else. In the sense of what are they doing, it's like we focus on what we're doing, and then we get together as a mass, sharing things with each other later on after we get done with what we're doing. And then we share.
What ended up happening to Atlantis?
Well, see, the point is, I told someone before. I said, picture this: you ever been to New York Harbor? And I said, well, imagine something like New York Harbor, but 10 times bigger. That's the Atlanteans harbor. So they had ships going out across the world. Influences and that kind of stuff. They also had five, as far as I know, they had five or six. I keep getting closer to six. That they had six of these outposts, I call them. Well, they had a colony in the Bermuda Triangle. They had a colony in Iceland. They had a colony in near Australia, because they always talk about the mermaids and that kind of stuff. And then there's China and Japan. So there's like six of these outposts. So. I was there talking to people about that too, and saying, "Okay, imagine that." I said, "Every time I focus these people, I'm doing past lives for. Okay, you're from Atlantis, but you're an outpost in Bermuda Triangle. And then when I saw that, I would see a blue aqua force field, and they'd be under the ocean. And then I saw another one in Iceland, and then I started seeing these people that had these strange-looking apparatuses, which were basically machines to help you swim or move through the water." Near Australia, which people used to sit there and talk about mermaids and that kind of stuff. And then China, there was a guy back in 97 who thought he found Atlantis in China. And so you have all this stuff going on. So what happened to him was also at the same time they had had the seaport going, they also had a spaceport. I was telling somebody, I said, well, how would you feel if you were sitting there talking about, because it was somebody who was sitting there talking about the thing on Mars, the face on Mars was a hoax. I said, okay, and I said, you can say that in a sense of what you're seeing. I think all that stuff surrounding the situation when NASA was trying to cover it up or whatever was going on was a hoax. But from what I've heard about the face of Mars was accidentally discovered by somebody going through NASA photographs and wasn't even supposed to be in there in the first place and found this photograph. So NASA was definitely trying to...
Richard Hoagland.
Yeah, because it was like he was definitely, NASA was trying to keep that under wraps, but they wasn't really saying anything about it. They felt like if we don't say nothing at all, then we have nothing to cover up. Well,
yeah.
Someone found the picture, and then that's when the whole thing going on. But see, people thinking, oh, it's alien. And I'm sitting there going, I'll give you the alien connection, because they actually say the pyramids, if you line the pyramids up, the Great Pyramid, it looks like Orion, the star cluster Orion. And there's another one on Mars. It looks like the cluster of Orion too. And then there's a lot of other things. There's a lot of what do you call them? There's a couple other societies here on the planet too. That when you line those societies up, there's cultures together and that kind of stuff. They also look like the cluster of Orions. So there is an alien connection, but it's more of an alien connection that were a couple of alien races that came here that were actually interacting with Atlantis, as they have a spaceport. And, you know, it's like when you watch these movies like Star Trek. As soon as we discovered warp power or warp energy, another culture, another alien race came to see us. I said, do you think all this stuff that these people are writing, that kind of stuff, are just kind of like hypothetically, or did they really happen? But it happened many, many thousands of years ago before this all happened up. Even the Bible, it says that too. Everything you see now, everything that even remotely crosses your path has happened before. It's nothing. There's nothing new. It's just been redone again. And we were talking about this on my show too. People were talking about, you know, the idea of a human body is like wearing a suit, and then when you're done with it, you move on. So the idea of past lives could look like a closet full of suits of previous lives that you've been into. But the soul remains the same. It just takes on many forms, which would be suits.
Speaking of many suits, where do you think I've been before?
Well, that would take up another show.
Right.
I think you're a very colorful person. I don't think you know it. I also wanted to sit here and say that there's area code 563. How are you?
Hi, it's Karen again.
Hi, Karen. We're all sitting here. All the mics are open, and we're sitting here talking about crazy stuff. There's another person on the line too. Area code 11111. Hello. How are you? You're the only person on the line. Has got an unlisted number or Skype number. Who are you? I want to know who you are. Hello. Well, I'm echoing back, so I know it's not me. So, Karen, did you have a question that you want to throw out to the round table?
Well, you know what I was thinking? You know the Sphinx? In the Belt of Orion?
Yeah.
When you look at when the Sphinx is looking straight out at the solar belt, every 26,500 years, it looks at its own Leo. And what's the other one? It's the female. What's her name? You know what I'm talking about? The two.
Oh, Gemini?
Is it Gemini? No.
Another woman?
Virgo. Yeah. And the Sphinx is half lion and half human.
Oh, so what you're saying
every
is Virgo?
Every 26,000 years. The Sphinx looks at Leo in
the
belt.
So does it give you an idea that maybe the Sphinx is older than what they say it is?
Yeah, but, you know, I'm just like, how did that just happen? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How did that just happen? It's just mind-boggling
that it lines up
and looks at itself.
I'm just saying, with the situation, I've actually done some readings for people who actually, there were six people that came here from Atlantis, which I call it the main island of Atlantis when it got destroyed. I said, imagine a culture that was so freaking evolved that they actually had control over the elements and nature and that kind of stuff. And there's actually been a couple of places around the Mediterranean where they actually have cultures like that, where they are blended with nature. They have certain ways of cooling their houses, heating their houses. They have an influence. It's like, we're talking thousands of years before the Roman Empire, where these people had indoor plumbing.
Is that real?
And all kinds of good stuff. I feel like they were like a spinoff in Atlantis. And because every time I see Atlantis, I always see about 11,000 years before Plato. Which is, I always see the Sphinx was something that was, look at the situation before the pyramids were even there, before Egyptians were even there. Because there was, people have always asked the question, what got into the Egyptians? Because before a certain point in time, before the Old Kingdom, the Egyptians were just wandering through the desert.
Right.
No motivation, no care, getting drunk on the sand. All of a sudden, something intersected into this culture. Next thing they rose to become this great empire. And I've done a couple of past life readings for a couple of people that were part of the six people that came in that culture of Atlanteans who actually sparked that whole thing to go. And that's why I was talking about Khufu. Khufu was actually a descendant of, he was like one of the last Atlanteans. And if you look at the pyramid too, there was like the other two pyramids. Was supposedly Khufu's son built one of those, and not really sure about who built the other one. But whoever did the pyramids and that kind of stuff, one thing you have to agree on when you do the history on those things, there's not a lot of history on them that you can really put it like. They found one statue of Khufu. It's like, I think it's like a 2-inch little statue with his face on it. And that's all we got. And so basically, somebody wanted to make this guy disappear. And if I'm not mistaken, he also came into power. He didn't come in. I don't think he came in the reign like most people do as a descendant. He actually came in. He fell asleep under the Sphinx, and had a dream that he would become a great pharaoh.
Yeah,
and
I remember that.
So I sit here and look at Atlanteans and they're in the metaphysics and dreams and changing that kind of thing. We also used to ask questions too. Because I always ask, what did the pharaohs do to become god status? Now we know back in those cultures, somebody had to do something extraordinary before they would get that kind of title. So from the get go, pharaohs were considered gods. And I think the reason that pharaohs were considered gods is because they were actually, that position was actually created by, because they always talk about a difference between royal blood and Egyptian blood. Okay? Why is there a difference? Because I think the reason the difference is, one was Atlantean, so we have a really pure race too as well, one of the very first pure races. And then we had Egyptians wandering through the desert. And then we put those two together, became a great kingdom. Because they were always talking about, too, that the upper kingdom and the lower kingdom coming together. And they did that. I don't know how they really did that. I mean, so that's another movie. That's another show. But I'm just saying, with the situation, those things going on, it makes you think about a lot of things in that situation. You know, we have pharaohs that are considered gods, but no one knows why until you really trace it back. And they were talking about, there is a lot of scientists who say that if the Egyptians did it, they did it on their own. They came up with their own writing and their own alphabet and that whole kind of thing. And they said, well, since they kind of progressed, did that whole thing. People are thinking.
Isn't their nation the oldest nation, too?
Yes. But my theory is on the whole thing, from what I've seen, is the Atlanteans came here. Okay? And they helped these people evolve. They gave them the idea of, because some of the writing and the alphabet and Egyptian writing, because there's actually an ancient text of Egyptian that's not used anymore. That's the reason they had that big old stone, the Rosa Stone or whatever it is underneath the Sphinx. That's the reason it was so hard to decipher that thing, because part of it's in an old ancient English. Egyptian text. So they had
right.
to figure that out. Yeah, there's three different types on there. There's an old, there's the ancient one, there's another one. I think there's like three types of writing on that thing.
Yeah, one's Hebrew, I think.
Yeah. But that's one thing I was thinking about too, when people talk about why is the Jewish race so important. I think that's the reason, because Adam was Jewish. He was the main dude.
Who?
That's Adam.
Adam?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's from that line.
I'm just saying, he was the very first human, supposedly. And then Adam, and then Eve. And you sort of look at the situation, because every time I look at the pictures when they show these white people, I'm sort of going, okay, you were born, and yeah, I guess you could have been. You know, God created you, so anything's possible, God, if God creates you. And you're the first man and that kind of stuff. And you know, kind of, I'm just saying he was. The idea of this whole thing is supposed to be in the Middle East, and anybody and everybody who's from the Middle East are definitely not white people. Very tan. So I'm just saying, it's one of those things to look at the situation and asking yourself a lot of questions. I mean, there's a lot of questions in that situation anyway. I mean, because they talk about Adam and Eve, and I don't think they actually got kicked out of the garden. I think they actually left because they didn't feel like they were worthy. And if you look at a lot of people these days, that would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it? Because everybody, when they put themselves in a situation, the reason they don't have what they want and they don't live the life they want is because they don't think they're worthy. So it might have been something that's been traced down through the centuries. But people are finally getting little butts in the gear. Now we do want to go out there and get exactly what we want or what we're entitled to or what we think we should anyway. That's what I think. Because I was brought, you know, I was sitting there looking at the Garden of Eden. Here's a question for you guys. The Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they leave the garden. They have two kids, Cain and Abel. Cain kills Abel. Okay, in the process of the whole thing, you know, Cain's pretty much condemned. He's walking the wilderness, and God marks him so nobody else will kill him. And then he's walking through these towns and villages. My question is, where does towns and villages come from? I mean, from if you read Genesis, there's only four people on the planet.
Well, you know, and they talk about the six-day creation. Mm-hmm. That is when, you know, God said, let us make man in our own image. And in the image he made male and female. They say that there was all the races were created at that time. There were certain teachings that I was under at one time. And
how come they don't teach that? I mean, if that's the case, why don't they say that? That's what I'm going to... Because the reason I came up with the theory that Atlantis and the Garden of Eden could be the same in one, and actually Adam and Eve is more of a story of some survivors leaving there, is because it does say in the Bible too that when Adam and Eve were in the garden, it also said like the animals of the air and the animals of the ground, whatever, it says go out and be fruitful and multiply.
Mm-hmm.
So, and plus there's also a section in the Bible, too. There's a section in the Bible talks, too, where it says, okay, now, it says, woman, since woman has sinned, she will now have childbirth, and there will be pain with childbirth. So it's saying, so basically in that context, it's saying childbirth has been going on, it just wasn't painful. Now it's going to be painful because what Eve did. So therefore, if that's the case, we put those two together, there could be a whole lot of people hanging out in the garden. So the idea of Adam and Eve leaving the garden, it could have been one of those. It could have been a nice migration where because every time Moses and Noah, none of these guys ever do anything by themselves. Okay, like Noah, it was him and his family that built, you know, did the ark and that kind of stuff, and they basically carried on the human race. And then we had Moses, so when he left Egypt, he wasn't leaving by himself. It was a big old migration of people. So
well,
it could have, go ahead.
Where do you think the people came from that Cain went off to be with?
I think it wasn't just Adam and Eve that left the garden. I think that's what I'm saying. I think there's a lot more people in that garden. I mean, you got Adam and Eve, and it says that they locked the gates of Eden. Why would you need to lock the gates of Eden if it was just two people? Heck, you just hit him with a freaking lightning bolt. That'd be good enough, wouldn't it? You know? But it was like making sure that nobody got in the garden. So that's what I'm saying. I feel like it's more of a migration of Atlanteans coming here to going from there to the Middle East. And then spreading across the freaking globe because there was so much influences at that one time. But I'm just saying, the Bible even says on the front of the Bible, it talks about we make man in our image. It says we. It doesn't say... But it says it twice. At first it says we make man in our own image. And then later on, about two chapters later, or maybe more than that, it says we make Adam. They created Adam in our own image. So there's two parts in the Bible where it says they created man. So there might be a...
When it says God said, let us make man in our own image, they were in with God. That is the spirits. That is all us is the spirits that was with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then he made man on earth, and male and female he made on earth. That's the sixth day, and then God rested. And on the seventh day, he made Adam, and he took Eve from Adam. That is the only race that Eve was taken from man, was that race. And that's why the Hebrews have to have a covering over their head, the women, because they were taken from man. They were not created at the same time as man.
Okay.
That's what I learned.
Well, there was also something that came out to this. There was a woman called Lilith. It was actually supposed to be Adam's first wife, where she was actually created equal, like Adam was.
Isn't that a fable, though?
It might be a fable, but there's a lot of things too saying, okay, she's the one that actually spun off, where it's like two stories blended together, where Lilith was actually the one that sinned, and she decided, since she was like Adam, she could do whatever she wanted to, and she became a thorn in God's side, so therefore she was banished, and I think it's more like hanging out with the demons or something. I can't remember what it was. And then he decided when he created Eve, he decided to make her a part of Adam, thinking that would actually, because he was trying to, he created a woman and a man, but for some reason there wasn't a bond there.
Not on the seventh day, though. He only created one, and that was the male. And then he created all the animals, the domestic animals, and then he brought forth Eve from Adam.
Right.
It doesn't say that there was another woman on the seventh day created, the same as Adam.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just saying, but we're saying there's so many questions about so many things. Because I mean, I asked a couple of pastors about that question, about Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and where did all the people come from, and they couldn't tell me. So I was reading the part there, and there are some references there where it seems like they did create something before Adam and Eve and then after Adam and Eve. So there seems like there's some things in there we can actually explain that. But some of those things that we talked about, Cain, when Cain's walking through the wilderness, I mean, those are cities.
Right.
Yeah,
and that's where that's the sixth day creation, they think. When male and female were created then, those are the races. How do you get, when you do the DNA right now, how do you get the mixtures of it? You can't. You can't get a Chinaman's DNA to fit a black person or a Caucasian. So there must have been the different race lines at one time.
Well, they also got the Tower of Babel, where supposedly they were trying to build that and there's actually, this is funny too, if you go to Egypt, there's actually a pyramid that they were building, and they said in the middle of construction, everything stopped, and they don't know why, and they're thinking that was actually the Tower of Babel, where it was like, because supposedly God came in there, and these people were going to build this tower to the heavens, and they wouldn't stop building until they got to the heavens. So God basically gave them, they all walked away with different languages and different cultures, so they couldn't communicate no more.
Yeah, and that's because they were building that skyscraper, and they thought they could reach God. So
also,
God,
the other thing, too,
did you know
that, remember Joshua, the dreamer, the dream interpreter, in the Bible? Do you know there's actually, if you have to really find it, but if you go to Egypt and where the pyramids are built,
oh, you mean
Joseph, yeah. There's actually a pyramid. There was actually a pyramid built for Joseph.
Oh, I didn't know that, but I believe it, because he ended up, I mean, being
a
high
right, yeah,
man.
He was way up. Yeah, he was way
right
up.
He was a right-hand guy.
Yes, he was.
Yeah,
I was going
to
ask anybody. Does anybody have any questions out of all the six people that are hanging out with us? There's actually somebody here on 1111111. It's either an unknown call or something with it. They definitely have their hands up. Okay, 563. That's you, Karen, right?
Yep.
Okay, there's a person on here with 111. It's either unknown or Skype. You're on the air. You're hanging out with us. Okay, so if you're there, say hello. And all we hear is someone riding in a car. So But anyway,
sounds like a Skype call.
Yes, it does, because mine does that from time to time, too.
A lot of they end up real scratchy.
Right.
But anyhow, while I'm here, I'm going to get ready to sign off here. I got to get to bed and go to work tomorrow morning. But you mentioned you have a morning show. When is that?
Well, I don't have my morning show anymore. Actually, I have a show on at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock p.m. I've been thinking about doing another daytime show, but I had a co-host that I had on there, and she was the one that came to me and wanted to start the show, and I was like, okay, no problem. But then she was never there. when we was on the air, she was either walking her dog, cleaning her aquarium out, working in her shop or something. I'm like, okay, you told me you was going to be here. That's why I'm even here myself. But what we're doing now is we have this thing called Tuesday and Thursday. Now, my show used to be called the Missing Spiritual Link. So now I have the Missing Spiritual Link Tuesday and the Missing Spiritual Link Thursday. So on those shows, we're actually trying to do the same thing we were doing on that show where we're talking about Bigfoot and Sasquatch. And I call it the Missing Spiritual Link because I feel like the government and other aspects of society have a tendency to try to hide things from us, which I think actually deters us from growing spiritually. And if we knew about these things, it would change a lot of things. I mean, if you sit there and say that there was 5 or 6 outposts of Atlantis, and even Atlantis itself is still thriving, and the government has known all these things, I mean, how would you feel? Wouldn't you feel like if you knew that, when it kind of makes you strive for certain things because of the things they've accomplished?
What do you think about the supposed hole in the North Pole where Admiral Byrd went in? Do you think that's there?
Well, for some reason, I'm being told it does. There's
a
lot
of things. Read his diary, the missing diary, or whatever it's called?
No, I didn't, but I've heard about it.
That was pretty cool. They took him down in there. Who was ever living there kind of took him in and showed him around a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of like on the same line as a Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's one of those things going into the earth, and then actually there's a lot of cultures that think that there's a inner earth, they call it, where it's like our culture right now, but it's like a layer lower than ours. And they're living
the
same way.
Yeah, I've read some of that also.
They have some crazy stuff out there where it's like Atlanteans didn't disappear, they just became friends with those people, and they go back and forth.
Of Atlanteans again. What happened to them? Some cataclysm wiped everything out back then?
Well, we had a thing on a show where we're talking about that the 5 or 6 outposts still exist.
Yeah.
Okay, and they have these major force fields, and I was telling my friend of mine, they said, well, they got a force field over there, they're in the water. So how they get out of there? Oh, so you ever watch Star Trek? There's actually in Star Trek they have force fields they can go out of, but it keeps the atmosphere inside, which is a different concept and that kind of thing. And I said, they said, what happened? I said, okay. I said, imagine a culture that was so evolved, okay, that the power source they had didn't just enable them to create such things, but it also had given them control over nature. So they lived. So I was telling a friend of mine, I was like, okay, use this as an example. Where do you find crystals? At the base of a volcano. Okay, so they based this society at a volcano because they used crystals. But at the same time, they were actually able to use this crystal energy source to keep that volcano dormant. And then you introduce the idea of alien races coming in here. There was 2 alien races, the reptilians and the Centurions or something like that, that came here. They were very warlike. So they came here and told the Atlanteans, okay, this is what you got to do because we're taking over. Well, the Atlanteans didn't want nothing to do with it, but they were also very peaceful. If you were a person that was so evolved and so powerful that you knew just by thinking about somebody that you could destroy them, they didn't misuse it. So they constantly were focusing on always being peaceful and loving, because they knew what kind of destruction they could do to things and people and stuff. So they strived and made a promise to themselves as a society to be peaceful and loving. Well, these alien races came into the whole thing. So I think it was one of the reasons why they had these outposts where these Atlanteans left. Okay? And so that's what we're going to do. But this reptilian race came in and kind of set the balance off. So the crystal and the and society and the energy source was you always working for them. Then you introduce this negative into it, and even to the point, I mean, you've ever been in a situation where you can't meditate? It kind of throws the whole day off. Well, this kind of threw the Atlantean race off. So that, well, they couldn't maintain the control they had on this volcano. So the volcano did erupt and did destroy that whole freaking section right there. Now some people were asking me, okay, if they have these outposts, now how come the survivors of Atlantis didn't go to these outposts? Well, it's like we talked about before. You have a society who focus on the now, on each individual, or focusing on their lives, their careers, their lives, and the stronger they was, the stronger society was. But when you have these outposts and stuff, those people were just aware of themselves, almost like preserving the whole thing. So the surviving Atlanteans decided to go into the world of cultures that they already knew of, and to help them evolve even more powerful than they were, or just happened to evolve. So these outposts and stuff, they didn't need any help. They were doing great by themselves. So the Atlanteans went to Egypt and you know, these other cultures and stuff, and helped them. So basically, it wasn't the ideal people think. It's the idea of the Atlanteans killed themselves, or the Atlanteans blew themselves. They knew about it. They left 2-3 days before it even happened. The people who actually did get destroyed were these alien races that were still there, who were arrogant. And there were some Atlanteans, don't get me wrong. There were some Atlanteans that said they wasn't going anywhere. So those people pretty much perished. And when I sit here and did the reading for this one couple, where they were part of the six people that came to Egypt to help them, to help that culture evolve, there was a couple of Atlanteans, since they were away from the mass consciousness, kind of went to their evil side. And that's why some Atlanteans who are in those situations, the reason they don't like using their power is because they feel guilty because of a few people that misuse their powers. They watched them do it, and they didn't do anything about it then. So they're scared that if they acknowledge their powers now, they might do the same thing back then. It wasn't because of misuse. It was the idea of more or less seeing someone else misuse it. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, it does. I don't know. There's a lot of racket going on in the background. I can hear most of it anyhow.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because I think, see, one thing we're having with Skype, because Skype is a universe, because Skype is a computer and that kind of stuff, and the way it travels and that kind of stuff, we're having a lot of solar flares and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and we actually
interference.
Yeah, the solar winds coming through and that kind of stuff. And it's actually been more powerful than it ever has been in the past.
Yeah,
so it's
well,
affecting it.
What do you think of this supermoon? They call it supermoon?
Yeah, well, the moon's actually closest to the Earth.
Yeah.
No, yeah, the closest to the Earth is.
It's crazy. You can definitely feel a difference because I just, you know, power and energy and that kind of stuff. But I think, honestly, we could actually use it to our advantage, too. Having the moon closer, it could actually work with our manifestation skills, yeah.
Well, they say that, you know, being this close, it causes more earthquakes and problems like that.
Yeah, but see, one thing I know about it's like, let the Earth do what it's going to do, because in the past, it's always evolved. It's always compensated. It's always compensated, and it's adapted. It's just one of those things like we do. It just, sometimes it takes some time to do so, but it will. I mean, 2012 for me is going to be more of a spiritual enlightening than anything else. I mean, even the Mayas said that one era would end and the other one would begin, so we can't sit there and say that the world's coming to an end. People keep forgetting about the other part where it says one ends, another one starts.
Yeah, I don't believe it's coming to an end. I believe that it's just going to start over again, basically.
Well, they're talking about it's more of a spiritual enlightening that people are going to see, start seeing things more like they do spiritually. You know, people manifestations and that kind of stuff, and realizing it's more... It's not the idea of focusing on materialistic things to manifest. They'll start working on more of manifesting, you know, a more spiritual lifestyle, more love, more caring, which will actually be more powerful to get those other things too anyway.
Well, that sounds like a much better world than what we've got right now.
Yeah, because right now everybody wants to be closed-minded and say, okay, the system sucks, but it's the only one we got. Yeah, well, that's what we said when we was part of England, too. We decided to separate. Okay? That's what I tell a lot of women I work with, too. You don't want to be independent, because independent means you separate from the whole. Just like we did when we separated from England. We separated. We were independent. But independence is something that you do. It's not something you are. Okay? So you're an independent woman, but you can still be a part of something, something special, because how can you not be part of something special since you are? You know? So most of my manifestation books talk about when you do manifestation, you're not really creating anything. What you're doing is you're letting down the resistance to get what you deserve, what was meant to be yours in the first place. So the guy that you actually do finally wind up with, or the girl, that was someone you were supposed to wind up in the first place. You just kind of got knocked off the path. And now you're back in the same direction again, back in the saddle, I guess. So anybody
do you
else got
think
any?
That,
go ahead.
Do you think that the pyramids were created like within the last 7,000 years, or do you think they're old, like more than 10,000?
Well, I see the Sphinx. The Sphinx has been there longer than anything else. But I see the Sphinx being something that wasn't really built by the Egyptians, but was found. And what I think is so funny about it, too, is the Egyptians used to build those Sphinx in twos. So I've always, when I look at the Sphinx, I keep thinking there's another one out there, too, somewhere. Just like the same size and everything.
Buried?
Yeah, I feel like it's buried. And I also feel like the Egyptians don't want to find it. Because because a lot of things the Egyptians do, is they've manufactured this image of what Egyptian is. And every time you tamper with it, they really get angry with that. They don't want to be proven wrong. They really don't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing with the pyramids. You can find places in the pyramids where there are mistakes. Also with Stonehenge. Stonehenge is another one, too. You can find out, they used to have those blocks that have nipples on them when they used to connect with each other. Well, you can actually see that there's been a couple blocks that were actually, they had to do again because they missed it. They missed calculator somehow. And they actually, boom, you missed the whole thing. But the same thing with the pyramid. But what people don't realize is, yeah, someone did cut those blocks and put them and chisel them into place and that kind of stuff. We're just saying that in the process of putting them into place, that somebody else did that mentally. But the other ones, everything else was done physically. Because every time I've done any past life readings on people who actually worked on the Great Pyramid, I don't actually see them working on the Great Pyramid. I always see them around the pyramid, and they're always working on blocks, they're all chisels and that kind of stuff. But I've never seen, of all the past life readings I've done, I've never actually seen anybody really working on the pyramid or dragging a block into place. Never saw that. But I sure have seen a lot of people working on those blocks, building the temple and all the other things else around it. And it was
so
an honor,
too. So you think they're 7,000 years old or less?
Yeah, I think they're a whole lot older than they are. I think people are trying to build an image that sounds feasible and that kind of stuff, because it seems like a lot of things that we see, every time I look at them, they always seem older. Or even with the situation of technology now, every time I look at technology now, I keep looking at it as being primitive. When everybody said, well, we just invented that. I said, yeah, but I think we should be like, not, we should be 100 years further along than we are now. We should be like Star Trek. We should be in the universe right now doing what they do in the movies. And I think if we could stop letting the government do it, you know, this idea of free enterprise now that they're doing, something they should have done a long time ago. And then, it's like I said before, when you do that kind of thing, then things advance really quickly. So people want to get out there, and they'll find ways to do it. It's like a prime example was watching Star Trek when we first got warp power, and the Vulcans come here, and they're always telling us, okay, we don't want you out there yet. They keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Those people remind me of the government. You know, we're going to let you do it when we feel like you need to do it. We're going to let you do it when we think it's ready for you, like they're our fathers. When you look at the situation of government and that kind of stuff, I don't see anybody being on any kind of different level. Because I was telling my friend, I said, we're not talking about Atlantis being a perfect society, but they had positions too, but it was more of maintaining everything on the same level. So you had kings and queens, and you had a royal family, and you had people of position. But nobody thought they were higher than anybody else. They were just positions of things that need to be done. You know, the king and the like. Look at, imagine this: the king and the queen and the royal family not being a royal family, but being more on the lines of really nurturing the society, nurturing this, you know, the civilization, and really doing that. Not sitting there thinking that, okay, you give me all your freaking money, we're going to live in these nice rural places and have nice cars and that kind of stuff, while you're all sitting down there eating fish. No, they believe, like I said before, they believe in balance. The only way you can have balance in a society is everybody has to be on the same level. And for some reason, that's a scary thing for people to do. But back then, it was like, if you maintain that, then you maintain peace throughout your whole civilization. Not just a little bits and pieces here. It all becomes a whole. It's all the same thing, because you said you're talking about, we all talk about this too. We're all from the same, we're all from source. So why are we all, why are there so many levels? That's a human concept. Not a spiritual concept. Because if you look at really real spiritual people, they don't think themselves of any better than anybody else, and they actually want you to be the same as they do, on the same level.
Yeah.
But the government wants us to maintain, or a doctor, or a lawyer, they always want to be on a pedestal. Look at me. And you just want to crack them in the kneecaps, you know? Does that make sense, guys? So, has anybody got any... let's go down the line.
I think that the pyramids were built by them, but they were given special gifts. You know,
well,
like
you
Joseph had special gifts.
If you would listen to the show, when we first started, I said that Khufu built the pyramid and everybody else basically chiseled the blocks and stuff. And he mentally, with his telepathic powers, and he put the blocks in place. Which actually, by his arrogance of doing it by himself, he ended up killing himself because he actually had an aneurysm and busted a blood vessel in his head because of that. And actually, if you sit and focus on this, guys, if you do the meditations and focus on that area of your brain, it says that the more meditations that you do, there are a certain gland in your brain that is stimulated that actually makes you more aware of what things around you. And if you really work with that, eventually you could work yourself to actually using that gland to actually work with the body to move rocks and that kind of stuff. And with a mental thing. Mentally, just, you know, not just knowing what people are thinking and that kind of stuff, but also being able to, because I've actually, with the idea of working with energy and that kind of stuff, I was actually able to walk into a room and grab a light switch. You know, they got those little, the metal cable coming down, and when you grab to turn the light on, I would just reach up and the metal would come to my hand. There is this thing about, you can use energy to pull things to you as much as push things away from you. And even using that gravitational pull that you have, which is called the law of attraction, to pull objects to you, right in front of you. It's just the idea of working with them. Like,
well,
you know,
I know I was sitting here one day, and the cable box turned on.
What were you thinking?
I wasn't thinking nothing. I was just sitting here, you know. And
uh-huh. Well, there's a thing about doing manifestations. The reason we have a certain time between those things, it's because of our resistance. I mean, I know when I was in Colorado, I can manifest rides in 5 minutes. Really, 5 minutes. I was sitting there. Okay.
I didn't get to that. I didn't get to.
No, I said I used to be when I was in Colorado. I used to be able to manifest rides home in 5 minutes.
Oh wow!
I was sitting there. Okay.
You said like out a distress signal and people picked you up.
Well, what I do, I would sit there and tell them. I would sit there and say little prayers like, okay, God and angels, I'd love to get a ride in 5 minutes because I'd just like to go home. I don't want to sit at this bus stop. And then five minutes later, I would sit there and go, be nice if someone would just come by and pick me up, a friend or something, somebody I haven't seen in a while, and get to know and that kind of stuff. And sure enough, about 5 minutes later, somebody would pull up and go, hey, you need a ride? Yes, I do.
Wow.
I said, boy, it's kind of crazy how that happens too. But I'm just saying, you can manifest things very quickly, but I think the reason we have that resistance there for a while, because if you can manifest everything you thought, that could be kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
If you're starting to think about an elephant or a horse, boom, oh, shoot, you know.
Yeah.
Next thing you run down the freaking block, there's an elephant chasing your ass. Whoa! So,
you prayed. That's a big part of it, too, though.
What's the idea of praying is asking? You have not because you ask not. So ask for everything. See? You ask for everything. And then Jesus said, don't focus on in between, like life and death and that kind of stuff. Focus on the outcome, manifestation. Because realistically, when we're trying to focus on creating something different in our lives, we're going to go from the old to the new. So It's like Jesus dying and everything. You know, when he didn't die, I think it was just it's a demonstration of you letting go of the old and becoming reborn into the favor of the new that's coming in, reborn. Because we're definitely changing our lives from the negative to the positive when we're trying to manifest things, right? So, I mean, that story makes perfect sense to me. So, who's here?
Hi,
who's still here? Faith, are you? Yeah, Faith, are you still here? I'm just trying to make sure. Faith, are you still here? Faith? Pam? Okay, Pam's the one's not here. Faith? Well, somebody's asleep. Okay,
well, this is Mark. I told you I was going to hang up before, but I had to keep on listening, but I have to go to bed now.
No problem, man. Like I said before, I have a show on 6 days a week. It's Psychic Journeyman on 9 o'clock, and this is my midnight show.
And what time is it over?
The show at 9 o'clock is usually a two-hour show it's from 9 to 11. But then I have a show on Fridays and Saturdays where we do readings for 3 hours. That's a three-hour show. And actually, I have a midnight show after that, too. So those on Fridays and Saturdays, I'm actually on the air for 5 hours.
So you're off right now.
Yes, we're off right now.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, but you are, what are you, 706?
Yes.
Well, I'm just saying, Mark, join us on their shows. I mean, I welcome people. See, on the midnight shows, it's always open mic, so everybody can talk and everybody can say that kind of thing. So if you have questions, what they want to ask questions, we usually do readings. We talk about topics just like this, and people just bring whatever they want to. That's why I call it the round table. So
yeah, I enjoy that.
Yes.
No, I do, too.
Yeah,
that's why I tuned in.
Yeah, so we're just all sitting there jabbing and jigging and that kind of thing. So I'm just saying, I have these every night on midnight shows, except for, I think, Wednesday night. Wednesday night, because Wednesday night, I think, because I needed at least one day a week. I didn't want to do a night show because I want to take a nap and get some rest. So I think you want to. So Mark,
yeah, well, I ended up on here tonight, but I'm probably going to try and find your earlier show.
Yeah, it's called Psychic X Journeyman at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Join us.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here.
Good night.
Good night. I'll say, guys.
Well,
okay,
I better let them go, too.
Okay, we got area code 773. Are you with us? Area code 773. Area code 773. You know, honestly, I think these people fell asleep.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got area code 111. You're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Hi, Donnie. I'm just listening.
This is who?
This is Shannon. I'm just listening.
Oh, I was like, sheesh, man. I was like, somebody called me my first name. It freaked me out. Well, Karen, if you got to go, that's great. But we'll be here tomorrow night, too, after my three-hour show. If you want to join us then and have the open mic night, you're more than welcome to show up and bring a couple of topics. If you want to talk about the pyramids, I'll get some more information about the topic on the pyramids, and we'll bring it to the show tomorrow night.
Yeah, if I can't call, it's because my son is out. So that's why I only have a phone when he's around.
Okay, no problem, man. But if you get a chance to join us, please do so, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Donnie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So Shannon fell asleep again. Oh. Shannon.
Yeah.
Did you fall asleep because somebody was snoring?
No.
I was sitting there going, well, who the heck is snoring? I got six mics open. I wonder who it is.
No. Actually, I was thinking about the, you were talking about the glands that you,
The glands in your brain?
Yeah, it's the pineal gland. It's
the pineal gland.
Spirit complexes.
Yeah, there's one guy, one lady was talking about the reason people hear voices is because of a nutritional deficiency. I'm sitting there going, that could be some people, but how can you explain everybody? And then there was one guy said that he can actually stimulate that gland too, to actually where you can see spirits and ghosts and that kind of stuff.
Mhm.
But he's trying to make it out to say that they're illusions. What he says, he stimulates the brain to see those images, but they're not really there. I'm sitting there going, what if he's lying to us? And what he's really doing is he stimulates the gland where we're actually seeing real spirits and ghosts and people and that kind of, we're actually tapping into another dimension. These people like to, I just feel like some people like to hide that stuff instead of letting it be open. It kind of drives me nuts.
They call it intelligent infinite energy.
Right.
Buying infinite energy.